Hello and welcome to the Worcester Observer podcast. I'm your host, Rob George, and we're going to start off with something a little bit different this week, and we're going to change up a little bit because it's Dementia Action Week. Now, some of you listening to the podcast know that this is a subject very close to my heart because I lost my mum to this very, very cruel and horrible illness. Joining me to discuss it in the first part of it is Claire Bullivan. Again, welcome, Claire.
Hi there. Thanks for having me, Rob.
And I just wanted to start with Dementia Action Week because this is a week of events to raise awareness of something that I still think is not understood by a lot of people because it's confused still for old age.
Yeah.
And they've got a relative that's forgetful and just go, oh, they're getting old.
Absolutely. Well, when you said we were going to be discussing it this morning, I've been researching a little bit this morning and I'm still confused. I went onto the Alzheimer's Society website. And it appears there's three types of dementia. There's Alzheimer's, there's vascular dementia, and there's mixed dementia. But nobody really explains what each one is and what research is being done. It does seem to be such a strange area. Like if it was cancer or something, there's so much more information. There just isn't the information out there.
And that's the problem. Actually, if you dig even deeper, there's more than three.
Right.
Because within the three you've identified, there's like another submenu.
Right.
Because it affects people in different ways. But the one thing I never understood before my mum was diagnosed was, unlike cancer, you get a cancer diagnosis, right, you've got cancer, here's what we're going to do, and we think you can beat it. We're going to take the tumour out or give you chemotherapy.
Hmm.
There is no cure.
No.
If you're diagnosed with dementia.
And they don't know what causes it, do they?
No. We're still in the infancy. Because you've got to remember, for many, many years, people were getting old and, oh, I'm getting forgetful, but that's my age.
Hmm.
When in fact, it's more likely to be some sign of dementia or some sort of brain decay, if you like.
It just astounds me when there's 850,000 people living in this country with dementia. Mm-hmm. And by 2025, they're saying there's going to be 1 million.
Yeah.
So it's staggering numbers. We don't know what causes it. We don't know, in fact, what it is properly. It just is such a question mark over the whole thing. And apparently, like with cancer, there are so many, 5 times more people go into cancer research, researchers and clinicians, whereas dementia, it seems to be like the area that apparently in medical, you know, schools and things, they're not as keen to go into it.
No.
It's not as attractive to go into. If I was in your situation and I had somebody who I, you know, lost or something, I'd just be really devastated by those facts.
It is devastating, but I look at it a lot more from a little bit differently in that I don't think we've had a breakthrough yet. Cancer, we've had breakthroughs.
Right.
People have been able to go, but we haven't had the big, the eureka moment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once scientists, and I'm sure there is investment going in all the time, there is a lot of money being raised by Dementia UK, Alzheimer's Society, just to name but a few. And I think there will be a eureka moment, but you've got to remember that we're working with the most complex, if you're medical and you disagree with me, I happen to think the brain's the most complex system in our bodies. It may be the heart, I know, because if the heart stops beating, it doesn't matter what the brain does.
Mm.
But I think we're dealing with the most complex organ in the body. And all our brains are different. We're all wired differently.
Yeah.
And it affects people differently. I mean, the thing that I take away the most is that when my mum was diagnosed, my dad was told there's two things. She won't die of it, she'll die with it.
Hmm.
Because you don't die of dementia, you die with it because it ebbs you away, it fades you away. It's like someone going around the house and switching all the lights off. That's a very crude explanation, but it's quite accurate. And secondly, nobody would give you a time frame because it can be quick or it can be slow. There's people suffering with it that are slowly, every year, sort of losing a step. And then there's people that are diagnosed and have passed away within 3 years. I think for my mum it was 5 years from diagnosis to death.
Did you have an idea what dementia was before?
No.
So when did your own mother, I mean, I know it must be really difficult to talk about because it wasn't even that long ago, was it, for you? But did you have an idea, an inkling? Did you just think, oh, mum's getting old, like a lot of people do?
Yeah, it was exactly that. She would repeat things over and over again. You know, the same sort of conversation we'd be having. And initially it was, oh, she's just getting on because my mum had me later in life. She was an older mum, etc., etc., etc. But she was taken to the doctors. She took herself to the doctors, actually. And they said, I want to refer you for tests. And it was only then it was, yes, you've got vascular dementia, which is, for without getting too scientific, is the dementia that spreads through the veins in the brain. So it crosses over, it gathers in one side, and it's like a army battalion that it will move across using the veins.
Oh, it's such a cruel disease, isn't it?
And it's horrible because you lose... But it's horrible because, and I made this point, I think, in the editor's comment this week. I may put it on worcesterobserver.co.uk, but you can read it in the paper. The person you love and care for is still there.
Mm.
But it's like somebody has sort of wiped their personality. They're still there. I mean, I still maintain, and people will disagree with me, and hopefully you won't disagree with me too strongly, and I don't wish to hurt anyone listening to this that has got a family member or someone they care about with dementia, but I still maintain until the day she died, she knew the people that she loved were there. I mean, I would, by the end, I was seeing her in a home, and I'd always kiss her goodbye and say, I love you, because I never knew whether it was the last time I'd see her.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
But the one of the last times we took my son to see her on the Sunday, and she passed away on the Tuesday, and he'd make noise because he was only a baby at the time, and he'd make noise, and there was a little sort of flicker. But there was lips would curl up as if to say, so she knew it was there. And I always said, if you could give her an injection for 10 minutes and just take it away, she'd absolutely know what was going on. But it's like somebody's just trapped.
Mm.
But it is absolutely awful. And if you know somebody, if there's a family member, if they're getting forgetful, there's no harm in going to the doctors. The doctors have seen it all before. It may be they've just got old age.
And, of course, it's also massive for the people who love them, the carers. Yeah. And I read that unpaid carers save the economy about £11 billion mm-hmm. per year.
Yeah.
And these people, I'm actually seeing it with one of my best friends at the moment, Charlotte. Her mother's got dementia, so she's moved home and she's looking after her and doing everything. And it's 24/7.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't realise that it's 24/7. And her own mother is absolutely lucid and perfect one day, and then the next day she doesn't even know that Charlotte's her daughter.
Yeah, and that's hard. That, and the added burden for carers. I mean, my father retired from his job and became my mum's full-time carer with no medical experience, no medical training, and still with a very sort of pigeon understanding of what dementia actually was. And it was heartbreaking because for these unpaid carers, like your friend and like my father, they care for someone they love, but also they've got the heartbreak of seeing that someone they love wither away.
Mm.
And it is absolutely... And my father went on and on and on until one day he couldn't cope anymore. I mean, my mum, it was a case of having to lock her in the house because she willingly went to the front door and wandered up the street. She didn't know where she was going. But one day she opened the door and started shouting that, you know, she was being held against her will, and called the police.
Oh my goodness. She wasn't.
That's the nature of it. And my dad lived with a guilt for 12 months about putting her in a home. And I kept saying to her, that's the best place for her now, because she needs expert care. You can't carry on, but we're going to have more and more places, we're going to have more and more people doing it. So get to the doctors, and it might be nothing, you might not have it at all, but the sooner it's diagnosed, I genuinely believe this, the sooner it's diagnosed, the sooner they can put you on medication to slow it down. They can't stop it. They can't reverse it. This isn't cancer. but they can slow it down and it could give you 4 or 5 more years.
I mean, it is normal, isn't it, as you get older to be a little bit forgetful.
Exactly.
And I'm already having it. I'll walk into a room sometimes and I'll be like, what on earth was I coming in here for?
To write notes.
Yeah, so I do think that's normal. And I did ask my doctor once about it and she said, don't worry, Claire, fine, you know. But it is just, if people, your family members seem to be concerned, get yourself to the doctor. Yeah. Or if you just have niggles, it's just worth asking those questions. And,
but equally as well, if you're a carer, don't be afraid to seek help.
I loved that, what you said in your letter this week, on your letters page, because I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I think especially men as well, you're so stoical sometimes, and you don't ask for help, and you don't talk to your friends like us girls sometimes often do or find easier.
That's completely correct.
So for people like your father who had to go through that, I'm sure it was just an absolutely terrifying and horrible experience, and he probably was very alone.
But if you know anybody, you know, they're still the same person. They might take longer to respond. Be patient. If you know anyone, a neighbour that you know that's been diagnosed, a friend, go and talk to them. They may not remember everything, but they'll appreciate the conversation because it's normality. And you're keeping their brain working. And the longer you can keep the brain working before the illness really, really hits, then you might be extending their life. You might actually be giving them a better quality of life. There's loads of charities out there. I'll wrap it up there. I don't want to go on too much because I'll start to get a bit emotional about it all. Alzheimer's.org is a great place to go for support, for some advice. I know I've been on there a lot reading up the symptoms before my mum died and how to cope, basically. But equally, segueing just a little bit, don't let anyone tell you how to grieve afterwards. That's a really important point because I'm sick of people telling people, other people, that they don't know how to grieve. You grieve your own way. I mean, I always say to people, and it does upset some people, I actually grieved for my mum before she died because I'd lost the mum I knew. And when she did pass away, it was like I'd done a lot of the grieving. It was the finality that I had to deal with more than the actual impact.
Because that makes sense, yeah.
I didn't cry on the day.
Hmm.
I was devastated, but I didn't cry on the day. I was strong for my dad. My dad was broken, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying that because he supports me in everything I do, and he's proud that we talk about her, because we did say after she died we'd carry on talking about her, and if I can help in any way other people in this situation, I think that's her greatest legacy, that I'll carry on talking about it so she'll carry on helping people, because she always helped people when she was alive.
Well, you've done such a good job through the paper as well, just raising awareness. And it isn't good enough, is it, the whole awareness of dementia? But it's getting better.
It's getting better.
The fact that tomorrow is the start of National Dementia Week, is that what it's called? You know, that's great. And people like us and our newspapers, we're helping to get the message out there.
Well, I wrote a feature on it, and one old gentleman rang me up, and this is where I may get emotional. One old gentleman rang me up and just said, thank you, because I felt alone.
Aww.
It's wonderful to know that I'm not the only one going through it. And I really think we better move on now because
well done, though,
things are going... But Alzheimer's.org, Dementia UK, search for Dementia Friends as well. There's Dementia Friends all popping up, and there's a Dementia Friends in Worcester as well, so do search for them. It's all out there. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of committed, hard-working people in the city getting out there, spreading the message and raising awareness, and more power to their elbow. Right, from the sublime and from the helpful to the ridiculous, and we're recording this just 24 hours after Theresa May sent out an SOS, but left most of the nation wondering what the name of the game is and wondering if the winner will take it all in the end. And I think that's enough ABBA puns associated with Brexit. Yes, we're talking about Brexit, and I just wanted to touch on it really because I don't think I've ever recalled a political event in this country that the Prime Minister has so repeatedly attempted to solve, and yet it gets her attempts get quicker and quickly rebuffed as the time goes on. Not, I think it was half an hour after the speech, people were racing to the airwaves and going, yeah, we're not helping. I mean, I wanted to pick your brains, Claire, because we've had this debate before. Claire supports Brexit. I'm a Remainer, but I do want to pick brains of somebody that does actually back Brexit, because I feel like we haven't done a lot of it recently. I mean, gut feeling, what do you... Will it have... Two questions. Will it ever happen? And how annoyed are you?
Do you know what? I just... The whole Theresa May thing, I honestly wish I could get inside her brain and understand what she was thinking. I don't understand.
No.
I don't know if she's just so stubborn or if she's honestly thinking that this new deal that she has put on and offering the second vote and everything, it just doesn't make sense. It's worse than the previous one.
Yeah. Which was bad already.
But I don't understand. Is she just trying to save face somehow, or is there some sort of tactical manoeuvring going on behind the scenes? It just is so bizarre to me. I listened last night to Jacob Rees-Mogg's podcast, and called the Mogcast, if anyone ever wants to listen to that. He's actually brilliant on it. And he often...
Of course.
I happen to like him.
Yes.
But he doesn't know either.
No.
He was honestly saying in it that maybe she's gone crazy or something. It's just bizarre.
I don't understand. I mean, I've always believed prime ministers are well advised. She's either that stubborn, as you said, or the advice she's getting is rubbish.
But on what she said, like she said we'd leave in March, she then said we'd leave, you know,
later
April. But what she says and then what she does, I don't think there's ever been a Conservative politician who has been so...
Hopeless.
Not following through. Like, her actions have just not represented what she has come out and systematically said to the whole nation on several occasions. It's almost sociopathic behaviour, isn't it? It's strange.
It is, and I'm glad you said it first, because now I'll weigh in. No, it is, because I don't... She was so stubborn that it's my deal or nothing, which annoyed her own party that said... I mean, I do believe there are sensible people in the party, sensible Brexiteers that just go, Theresa, you can't say that. You know,
Boris,
you don't know what people, you know, people didn't vote for your kind of halfway house. They voted for, there was two, I keep going back to the thing, leave or remain. That was the only choices we had.
There was no...
Her deal is sort of.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember that being on the ballot paper. Leave, remain and...
And this new deal that she wants to put forward, if we agree to it, it's the only deal in the history of treaties all over the world that we would never be able to come out of without their permission.
Yeah.
They would be holding us to ransom. Like, it just blows my mind. I'm not a politician. I don't know a lot about politics, but I understand business and economies, and I understand how deals work.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand how she isn't looking forward to not just tomorrow, but next year. We can't be held ransom for the rest of our existence.
But it's poorly planned. I mean, I've always given, ever since I've been interested in politics, which was at a young age, I was a teenager, but that's so sad I am, because I'm a bit of an anorak. like nobody's worked that one out already. But I've always given prime ministers chance, and I've grew up in a Labour-supporting household, and I voted Labour when I was first had the vote in 2001, then went to the Lib Dems to protest against the Iraq War, and I've voted Conservative since then because I live in Bromsgrove and I did support Sajid Javid. So I've supported all the parties, but I've given all the prime ministers a chance. Even Gordon Brown, I've given a chance. And I hate saying this, but... As a prime minister, she is more hopeless than Gordon Brown.
Yeah.
Because she can't lead her party, she can't lead her country.
We need Boris. I know you're not a Boris fan, I'm a massive Boris fan. And I actually interviewed him once upon a time, a long time ago. And the minute I met him, I just thought he was an absolute incredible human being. And I know people say he lies. I've never seen anything that he's lied about. I think he's
so... Do you
so...
not think he would sell Brexiteers down the river?
No, I think he'd deliver.
In
what way would you think he would sell them down the river?
I think once he got the keys to number 10...
No.
I think he would backtrack.
In what way?
I think he would move back to the one nation conservatism and try and sort of...
I think a softer
Brexit or even no Brexit at all.
I think he'd do some fantastic deals with America. I think he'd do some fantastic deals with India.
I'm not sure.
He would. Look at the incredible job he did as a, you know, when he was...
But it's part of a wider problem. We haven't got leaders anymore.
I think Boris is a leader. I really do.
I don't think... I'm not sure. I would give him a chance. To be honest, I would accept my own son, Jacob, rather than re-smoke my own son as leader of the country at the moment, because he'd provide more leadership. I don't understand how she's got into this situation. I mean, I read the speech last night. It's desperate.
It is desperate.
I've made compromises. Now you compromise. Help me. Yeah. No Prime Minister should ever utter the words, help me.
No.
Because it screams, I don't know what I'm doing.
I was listening to her and I was almost a bit embarrassed. I thought she was trying to be, and I hate to get sexist here, I'm a woman, but I wanted her to succeed. I wanted her to be the powerful leader. And whatever you say about Margaret Thatcher, you might love her or loathe her, you have to admit that she was a leader. She was powerful and she was forthright and she didn't, you know, care what people thought about her. She was... But Theresa May is just doing everything that Women's Lib has worked so fearlessly for. She's begging almost now.
Yeah.
And it's not...
It's not an edifying sight because she's being controlled by men.
Yeah.
And it's unedifying because we're now in a situation in this country absolutely brilliantly... where women are at the top in a lot of industry. But she's to have her kowtowing to men...
She's being embarrassing.
Because there are women that have proven you can be a very, very good leader of your department without kowtowing to men. Amber Rudd, Yvette Cooper, Caroline Lucas for the Green Party. They're not enthralled to anybody. They're leaders in their own right. They have their own voice. And we have a Prime Minister that's, oh, I'm going to do this. And, I mean... She's begging Jeremy Corbyn for help.
Mm.
Jeremy Corbyn may be many things, and I'm not a fan of him, as you know. But pure politics, he knows himself in his head, I'm not throwing you the life raft.
No.
I want you to go down with the ship, because then I can...
But I think the Conservatives are dragging Labour down with them, because I think Labour is being so... it's looking one way and looking the other way. It's not giving the Labour supporters clear messages or clear policies. It's trying to
whether
please...
you voted Brexit, yes, or whether you voted Remain, Labour support you. You can't be like that. You've got to have a clear policy.
Labour should be shining right now.
But there was an opinion poll saying that if Labour suddenly backed Remain and a second referendum, they'd shoot to the top of the polls.
I don't know.
No, I don't either, but polls are... But it's clear... But what is clear is you're absolutely right. The Conservatives are mired... And people have had enough of... They're just like, oh, you're not going to have an opinion then, Jeremy. Right, I'll go and vote somewhere else. I'll go and vote.
The Lib Dems are...
Because at least the Lib Dems are saying, well, we want to scrap Brexit. And people are like, okay. Because the nation's fed up of it all.
And the Brexit Party are going to probably clean up tomorrow.
I think so. I think, and again, I'm not a fan of Farage's, but do you know what? He's walked into the space vacated by Theresa May and he's gone, right. And he's utilised it brilliantly. The finances thing, yes, that's got to be investigated. But for pure politics, the man does politics.
Explain the finance thing to me, Bob. So if somebody gives you under £500 to your party, you don't have to declare it.
No.
So if have people been giving lots of £499?
Yes.
Is that what happens? And is that just happened to the Brexit Party, or is that rife throughout?
Let's be honest, it's every political party. It's just the Brexit Party being examined because Aaron Banks, who funded the unofficial Leave campaign in 2016, gave an interview where he paid for Nigel Farage's lifestyle in the year after the referendum. He gave him £450,000.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
And is he a foreign...
Aaron Banks is a British...
I thought it was foreign money, though, that they were questioning.
Well, they're trying to extend it to, oh, is the Brexit Party being financed from abroad?
Right.
But the truth is, all the websites are so basic. Mm. You can type in your addresses anywhere. I think the Guido Fawkes site donated to the People's Vote campaign with the address of Vladimir Putin, the Kremlin.
Right.
It's a failure of technology.
But I understand if it's foreign investment, it could be seen as trying to influence. But if it's a British person giving money, what does it matter if it's a million pounds?
It doesn't matter. And let's be honest, all the parties, until we sort out ways of funding political parties, this is going to every party. Mm. Every party's been given a donation by somebody. I mean, you go back to 1997, Bernie Eccleston, who was running Formula One at the time, gave the Labour Party, under Tony Blair, a massive donation. Labour put forward a parliamentary bill banning smoking, cigarette sponsorship of sporting events.
Right.
All except Formula One.
Oh, right.
So, Bernie Eccleston, who runs the sport, gives donation to the party. Party funding is a problem for everybody, and it goes back years. It goes back decades, because we have political parties that need an infrastructure to run. They're not businesses.
Mm.
You know, they need the donations. The Labour Party, even when it was in government, Lord Levy was going out begging bowl in hand, saying, well, if you want to keep Tony in Downing Street, you need to donate money.
Mm.
So it's not a new thing. That what annoys me about the media is that we have this thing that, oh, this is all suddenly new. No, we've been kicking the can down the road, like Brexit, for years on this. But I think let's curb Brexit there and let's talk about some happier stories. Let's talk some local stories, stories you'll see on WorcesterObserver.co.uk and in the paper. And I want to start with this. I trailed it last week and I previewed it last week. I want to talk about it now. There's a pair of brothers that grew up in Badsey in Evesham, but one of them now lives in St. Peter's in Worcester, that had two men, first-time fathers, both had sons. Lot like Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, first-time father himself. They were first-time mums, the mums as well. Should mention the mums do a very important job. What's the connection? I hear you scream at me. Well, those boys that were born last year were called Archie and Harrison.
Aww.
So when
they obviously copied them.
No, this was, but this was
no,
well.
No, the Prince and yes. Meghan obviously copied our local family.
So they imagine their surprise that the royal baby name was announced Archie Harrison. So those two little princes of their own have got their own claim to fame and say, yep, we had Archie and Harrison well before.
But how annoying. They're going to spend the rest of their life being like, oh, yeah, you were named after the baby. And they're just going to have to be like, no, I'm older.
I'm actually older. Very cute picture as well. Fans of baby pictures, and there's a lovely picture on page 4, and it'll be on the website as well. Very cute picture.
And I like that one of them was 9 pounds 6 ounces when he was born.
Yes,
that's a big baby. I was a big baby. What did you weigh when you were born?
Oh, I was 10 pounds.
Oh, you were a big baby.
Yes.
Too. The big baby gang.
Yes, and my son was 9 pound 1.
Oh, big healthy babies. That's
yeah,
what we were.
But if you ever met my wife, who's very, very short, you'd wonder how she managed to have a 9 pound 1 baby. Very, 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 very. They all. I still remember his birth because they almost unfolded him when he came out. It was just like, right, okay, there's more of him.
Aww.
But now it's a fantastic little story. A nice bit of brightness and a lovely Union flag cushion in the middle as well for the patriotic amongst you. We're going next to. I'm moving on. Oh, yeah, fireworks. Organisers of the Worcester Festival. This you've got to know about this in August. It's fantastic. Fortnight or... Well, I say fortnight, but it actually goes on for 16 days, but I've never... It's a fortnight plus two. they've revealed the traditional fireworks finale to bring the curtain down on the summer celebrations is actually being scrapped.
I'm gutted. It was always so special.
Absolutely fantastic. And we're going to run a picture, thanks to the people at Worcester Live for providing a picture. There's a sensational picture of the fireworks to the left and the cathedral there. It just looks absolutely stunning. I hope our website does it justice later on. But the city skies will fall silent on August Bank Holiday Monday for the first time in 16 years, because the organisers have said they're going to use the thousands of pounds that would be spent on the fireworks and the display on more and more events for the city. So it's kind of take away with one, give with the other. Personally, I think it's probably a good thing, because we're getting more and more... There's more and more issues with fireworks now. Pet owners, for example.
I understand the pet owners, but somebody here said that they have a hard time justifying sending a lot of money simply going up in smoke. I never like this argument, because I always think you could say that about spaceships and rockets and anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's an industry, isn't it? We're employing local people to buy the fireworks and sell them, and although they're probably made in China or something. But it's still an industry. It's still. So I don't understand. And I do think it was such a special part of the festival. I think it really, everyone loved it, didn't they? The last night.
It's popular.
It was very popular.
But I'm terribly going to get splinters for sitting on the fence so much, but I can see what the organisers are trying to say. You know, for the cost of that, can we put on more events and engage more people and drag more people into the city that might spend more and contribute more to the economy? It's...
Maybe we could have a Worcester... ask the Worcester people to have their own firework parties and on the final night or something. I don't know. I just think it's a shame. I always really enjoyed the fireworks on the last night. I thought it was very special.
It is going to influence people one way or the other. I can see both sides of it, but do read about it, worcesterobserver.co.uk, and let me know what you think. editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. What I really do want to hear your views on. To editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. These controversial parking restrictions on the Bromyard Road, they look set to go ahead. The County Council are going to put yellow lines down or parking restrictions down between 7 a.m, 7 p.m, Monday to Saturday. Now, not Sunday, they've reversed the original decision to go 7 days. But the County Council say, I parrot the County Council's line, that it's... too many parked cars on the Bromyard Road stops people turning around. It builds up congestion. People then can't get through when the car's trying to turn off Bromyard Road, and it creates congestion and it adds to the bottleneck that is already in the city anyway. However, the residents of St John's, the most important people in this, 100% of them don't want these restrictions because they've got nowhere else to park. They're worried about... once the road is wider, because the Bromyard Road is relatively wide, once the parked car's been taken off it, are people going to increase the speed? Is there going to be more danger? The people of St John's don't want this. The voice of St John's himself, Richard Udall, has said there is growing discontent and anger in the local community because every time residents have had their spoken about it, they feel like they've been met with a firm no. So I would be interested, if you're in St John's, tell me what you think... show what you think. Let's follow up on this story and let's see what you think. I can see both sides because we've got to do something about the congestion. I went Nigel Farage then. We've got to do something about the congestion. We've got to do something about the congestion in the city. Is this the right thing? It looks like it, but if you're living there and you've got nowhere else to park your car...
could they not have permits for residents like they do in London?
That might be the answer.
Yeah.
But I think the County Council have been a bit... sort of, we're going to take all the facts into consideration, but it certainly looks like this is going to come in, which I think is going to upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I do want to hear your views on that, because, I mean, the County Council do say in their defence that it's their consultation that enabled people to actually find out about this. But it's one of those, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because we need to cut congestion in the city, because I think I was... where was I? Oh, Friday. I was coming back from Martley, lovely place in Martley, and we're going to talk next week, hopefully, about a story that I covered in Martley, which is both devastating and absolutely enthralling. It's going to keep you. It's going to really, really keep you reading because it's so dramatic, and I can't quite believe this woman's experiences myself.
Can you give us a clue? What's it about?
It's all to do with the tainted blood inquiry that's going on.
Ooh, okay.
But also, I enjoy this job immensely because as well as meeting people, which is always a pleasure, I learn something. I spent an hour in this woman's company on Friday. I learned so much that I didn't already know, and it absolutely fascinated, but it also devastated me at the nature of what has been going on in this country. And this, it's all out there in this, if you... Google tainted blood inquiry.
So this is when people got in, you know, given HIV and blood back in the day?
Even more than that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Because the tainted blood inquiry, to the surface, looks like it's examining people that were given HIV and hepatitis from dodgy blood that was imported from the United States.
Right.
What hasn't been told yet and what we're going to do... in both our Malvern paper and the Worcester paper, hopefully next week, is tell the story of a haemophiliac who was born a haemophiliac and was given hepatitis B, C and CJD in subsequent blood transfusions from blood plasma.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So she was already born ill, haemophiliac, and then because of this scandal, she was actually made worse, and nobody did anything about it.
Oh,
I think it's absolutely shocking and borderline disgraceful, and I hope this inquiry actually brings some answers. And also, just to finish off, we're going to gloss over the sport this week because I've rabbited on too long as usual, but just something, I'm sure you've seen them, the little mini officers, the little colourful pretend police officers made out of metal with "don't park," warning you not to park on zigzags outside schools. One of them was run over.
I know, I read this
very
story.
Very, very sad. One of them was run over and damaged. And I don't know whether I've the lurgy or a lack of sleep because of the lurgy or what, but I'm sure if you look at the picture on worcesterobserver.co.uk, again, give me your views. The little officer, he does look a bit perturbed by his...
He does. Do you think it was an angry parent who's just fed up with them, or do you think it was an accident, or do you think it was somebody just speeding?
I'm not going to speculate.
Oh, if only we had some CCTV footage.
They're there for a reason. They're there to keep our kids safe outside schools. Please.
And they're cute little things. They were really popular, weren't they?
They're not invasive. They are cute. They're going to make you smile. I went past one the other day. It made me smile and it made my four-year-old smile. So if it can do that with two generations...
I went past one when they first came out and people were taking selfies with them. That's how popular they were.
But do have a look on worcesterobserver.co and contact us on social media. I think the poor little chap that's been damaged, he does look a bit sort of miserable.
He looks as though, yeah.
He looks like he's like, oh, I've lost my base.
Yeah.
But do be careful if you're outside school. They're not there. It's not the nanny state. It's not to get you to change anything. It's just to warn you that you're outside of school, you know, don't park there, don't speak because there's kids about. It's the most unevasive thing that the state could possibly put out there. Please just have a bit of consideration because they're cute as well, let's be honest.
The paper's got a very drivey feel.
It has. It's
lots of transporty stuff this week, hasn't it?
But
very colourful. Looks great again, Rob. So
We do our very best. And a quick mention as well, as you've brought up the transport theme, very congratulations. Very congratulations? That doesn't even make sense. Very many congratulations to our Elgar coaches that have won the SME Transport Award for the best coach hire company in Worcestershire. Have a lovely picture on the front page of our paper with their award. So if you've ever been anywhere or if you're going on a school trip, it might be an Elgar coach, who knows? But you now know you can go on an award-winning Elgar coach, which is always fantastic. Right, I think we're going to gloss over the sport because... rugby season's finished, football season's finished, cricket season, well...
Although I did read one bit of news that you put out this week. The Worcester Warriors ladies, the Valkyries, they're now the Worcester...
Indeed.
...Warriors women. I love it.
It rolls off the tongue.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all brand homogenisation, to quote a really awful bit of business speak. And what a really, really poor way to link into Claire's What's On Worcester Roundup.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Thanks, Rob. And I'm back with some fun things happening this week in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Worcester and Malvern Observers, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Worcester and Malvern areas. Starting off on Thursday, the 23rd of May, we have Andy Cutting performing at Huntington Hall. If you know your music, you'll know that Andy is a rarity. He's a musician's musician. He is a soulful and technically outstanding melodeon with an ear for a fine tune, but also a warm and emotive performer with staggering musicianship. He's one of the folk scene's most wanted, playing with Kate Roosby, John McCluster and Under the Sky, to name but a few. June Tabor recently said, "Hearing Andy Cutting play is like going through the wardrobe and finding Narnia. His music is glorious, joyful, moving, subtle, emotionally charged, a totally spellbinding experience that is never long enough." Now that's a recommendation, isn't it? Get your tickets for Thursday night at Huntington Hall from Worcester Live. Another amazing show on Thursday will be the Simon and Garfunkel story at the Swan Theatre. Direct from a week-long run in London's West End, a sold-out worldwide tour and standing ovations at every performance, the Simon and Garfunkel story has been getting rave reviews all over the place. Using huge projection photos and original film footage, it features a full live band performing all the hits, including Mrs. Robinson, Cecilia, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Get your tickets fast, as this is an evening not to be missed. You can find out all the details on thesimonandgarfunkelstory.com. And it doesn't stop there on Thursday, as there's also an acoustic music convention with Winter Wilson happening at the Old Rectifying House in Worcester. This is Winter Wilson and Kip Winter, and they're back from their five-week tour in Australia earlier this year, and they'll be touring now all over the UK and Canada. They've just been nominated again for the Best Duo Award by the Folkies at folking.com. They're an amazing double act. They do stunning harmonies and such fine musicianship, with often hilarious tales of their life on the road. They're very funny, and this is why so many venues and festivals book them time and time again. You can catch them at Elmsley House on Thursday evening. Get all the info on elmsleyhouse.co.uk. Moving on to Friday, the 24th of May, it's Las Vegas Race Night happening at Worcester Racecourse. This will be a night to remember, with live music from one of the UK's top Elvis tribute acts. The King himself will be performing before racing and at intervals throughout, located inside the county enclosure. Plus, there's going to be Vegas showgirls, casino games in the grandstand bar, loads of cocktails. Walk down the red carpet as you arrive, get your selfie with a showgirl, and enjoy a cocktail or two as you watch Elvis on stage. What better way to start your bank holiday weekend? Get your tickets now from the Worcester Racecourse. Telephone 01905 253 64. Also on Friday night, the Robin Nolan Trio will be on at Huntington Hall. Robin Nolan is without doubt one of the world's leading authorities when it comes to all things gypsy jazz. I think that's the genre it should be called. He's travelled the globe for the last two decades, performing at many of the world's top venues and festivals. The Beatles' George Harrison named him as his favourite guitarist. The Rolling Stones' Bill Wyman has had him in his band, and Hank Marvin joined him for his 2018 Gypsy Jazz Secrets Australia guitar retreat. He's got friends in high places, this guy. Get your tickets to see Robin Nolan Trio on Friday night from the Worcester Live website. Also on Friday, we have The Summer of Love coming to Malvern Theatres. These guys will take you back on a nostalgic musical journey to that incredible summer of 1967. An eclectic explosion of flowers, psychedelia, freedom, peace and love, and of course, timeless music that inspired a generation. I want to be there now. With original 1960s film footage, The Summer of Love also features a full live band performing songs such as California Dreaming, San Francisco, Happy Together, Brown Eyed Girl, and over 40 more classic songs from the summer that changed the world. It's going to be a groovy kind of show. malvern-theatres.co.uk for your tickets there. Another groovy kind of show is going to be Streisand, the music, the legend, the lady on Friday night too at the Swan Theatre. This is, of course, a celebration of all things Barbara Streisand. The iconic sound of a legend of music and film is brought to life in this brand new production, touring theatres across the country. It's going to be a spectacular show. Get your tickets from Worcester Live. And it doesn't stop there on Friday. There'll be some live music with Journeyman at the Sociable Beer Company in Worcester on Friday night. The Whipjacks, the Dead Dads Club and Kick the Clown will be performing at the Mars Bar on Friday. Joe George and the Tyler Macy Trio, they'll be bringing the house down at Annie's Burger Shack on Friday night. And it's also the start of the Mellow Festival at Hanley Castle, starting on Friday and running all weekend. They say this is the biggest chilled festival, and they've got some great bands in the lineup. The Wonder Stuff, Brand New Heavies, Stereo MCs, EMF, it's unbelievable. Like what I did there. Check out their website for the full lineup and camping details, etc. mellowfestival.co.uk. Moving on to Saturday, the 25th of May, it's Oak Apple Day at the Commandery in Worcester. This is where we remember the restoration of the English monarchy in 1660. Apparently, it's a historic spring tradition that marks the day that Charles II reclaimed the English throne. Take the kids, enjoy all the reenactments and historical tours. You'll find all the details on museumsworcestershire.org.uk. Then on Saturday night, loads of live music all over town. The Everly Brothers and Friends tribute show is on at the Swan Theatre on Saturday night. These are the amazing Temple Brothers, officially the UK's number one tribute to the Everly Brothers, as who will be doing all their amazing songs, as well as special guest tributes to Hank Marvin, Buddy Holly and Jerry Lee Lewis. This spectacular two-hour tribute show is going to be fantastic. Get your tickets now from the Swan Theatre. We also have Matt Peplow performing at the Garibaldi in Worcester on Saturday night. Dog of Two Heads, a Status Quo tribute band, they're going to be on at the Mars Bar in Worcester on Saturday. Fiddlers 2 will be giving us live music at Worcester Brewing Company on Saturday. Warren James and his hot band, they'll be warming things up at the Chestnut Inn in Worcester on Saturday. And Jane Kelly will be on at the Great Malvern Hotel in Malvern on Saturday too. And if you like your opera, Cozy Fantoute, sung in English, will be performed at Elmsley House in Malvern on Saturday. After the sellout performance of The Marriage of Figaro last year, the Felici Opera are back with this show. Felici means the happy ones, apparently, and Felici Opera seek to bring happiness to their supporters through their high-quality creativity, stage performances and their charity fundraising events. That's what they told me anyway. Tickets are £30, with the doors opening at 6pm there. Get all the details on elmsleyhouse.co.uk. Then moving on to Sunday, the 26th of May, we have Chinmaya Dunster on at the Malvern Cube at 4pm. Apparently, this means as far as the ear can hear, and it alternates Indian classical themes on the sarod with songs based on the poetry of mystics. It sounds fascinating, and apparently it's very good. Get all the details and your tickets on the Malvern Cube website. We've also got Kringo's House Party Bank Holiday Special at Drummond's in Worcester on Sunday. Three Bone Joint will be performing at the Worcester Brewing Company. Jamie Knight, he's on at 5pm at the Imperial Tavern in Worcester. Hump to Bump are going on at 5:30 at the Chestnut in Worcester on Sunday. And the Rain Trees, they're going to be on at the Lamb and Flag in Worcester between 8 and 10pm. And also on Sunday, if anyone's getting married soon, they're going to be having a fantastic bridal fair happening at Colwall Park in Malvern between 12 and 3pm. Get all the details on their website, colwall.co.uk. And staying in Malvern on Monday, the 27th of May, it's the Great Malvern Food Festival happening at Great Malvern Priory Grounds. WR14 2AY is the postcode if you need that for your sat-nav. Now in its ninth year, the Great Malvern Food Festival attracts around 6,000 visitors, apparently, and it has to be added now to every food lover's diary. It's only selling the very best in locally sourced food and drink from a 50-mile radius, and this year they say they will have over 60 carefully selected artisan market stalls selling everything from local cheese and English wine to locally distilled gin and yummy pastries and cakes. Oh my goodness, it's making me hungry. But then after you've done with all your lovely food shopping, why not head on over to Colwall Park for a Monday night quiz night? Entry is £1 per person, maximum 4 per team. It starts at 7:30pm there. Be there and be clever, I hope. And that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this week in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your event details or give us a call and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers in our paper, listeners of this podcast, and we'll also pop you on our social media channels. Thank you so much for listening and have a great week.
You're listening to the Worcester Observer podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Thanks so much, Claire, and thank you for joining us again this week. That is it from your Worcester Observer podcast this week. I know we've talked about Brexit. It may have all changed by the time you actually listen to this, so if it does, please do accept our disclaimer that we're recording this on a Wednesday morning. As usual, if you've been mentioned, you're probably going to get tagged on Facebook and Twitter, so any retweets you can provide us would be great. And a big shout-out to the News Media Association, who retweeted our podcast link because we talked about journalism matters last week. So if you do like it, spread the word. If you've got any ideas, get in touch with me, editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. Message us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let us know if you want to come on the podcast at any point. If you've got a story to tell, we want to hear from you. Come on, do actually get in touch with us and we'll arrange for it and we can actually get you on the podcast and spread your message out. But until then, my voice is beginning to go now, so I think it's time to go and get a nice cold drink, and I think I'll say we're done here. Bye-bye.